God wants to change the way you think. Because everybody here, Jax, come on. That's my grandson. I have five of them, so I'm really blessed. And we're going to have another one, except she is going to be a girl. So God is good. Father, we thank you for your word, your written word, but we thank you for the living word, which is Jesus himself, the Word of God made flesh and dwelt among us, and still to this day, just because he went and sat at the right hand of the throne of the Father by the Holy Spirit, he's here. He dwells, he lives in us, for us first, and in us and through us, and that's the living Word. So thank you that the letter of the law killeth, but the Spirit of the law gives life. And that's us. We don't live under a law. We live under grace. That's why sin does not have dominion over us, because we walk by faith, not by sight. Everything that is seen in this world is just is temporal. It'll perish, even our own bodies. But everything we can't see is eternal. That's the things that we can't see. So, and it said in the Bible that everything that was made out of things that don't even appear. So that's amazing, God. You just spoke the word. The word of God will abide forever. So we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are teaching us so that every day we grow. Every day our soul, our flesh is being killed so that we might live an abundant life that Jesus promised. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalms. Okay, when you, teaching or preaching or whatever you want to call it is very, anybody can do it. Anybody. Titus could do it. My grand Jax could do it. Really, teaching, all it is you're kind of like Apostle Paul did. It's just you're studying to show yourself approved and all that, but really all you're doing is bragging about Jesus, how awesome he is, how great he is, how he does everything. I like what Jeff said, that God fights all of our battles, which is awesome, because then you can relax. You can enter into his rest. The Bible says that Paul told Timothy, he goes, Timothy, study to be quiet. Doesn't mean he didn't talk. It just means to study, to enter into a rest. That's what the word actually means in the Greek. It means to rest. So God wants everyone here, male, female, mother, father, brother, sister, whoever you are, God is concerned about you, and he wants to do everything for you, in you, and through you so that you can rest. Before you die, he wants you to enter into his rest. Now, some won't because they're rebellious and wicked. But for us, we're going to enter into his rest. Now, some of us already have, and a lot of you have already, too, entered into his rest. Because there's a rest, there's a Sabbath rest for the people. That means no work. You cease from your own labors, you enter into his. Even if you're busy and doing stuff, you can still be at rest, content. As a matter of fact, I did a big study last week on that, about being content with what you have, for God will never leave or forsake you. So I learned, Paul said, I learned in everything to be content, whether I'm being persecuted, whether I'm abounding, rich, whatever, or I'm abased. I've learned to be content in all things. Why? Because God will never leave me or forsake me. God will never leave me or forsake me. God will never, ever leave you or forsake you. So you can be content in everything and be changed only by the renewing of your mind. Because the problem with Christians is we think like the world thinks. And Romans chapter 12 is very, very clear. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everything you believe apart from Jesus is a lie. That God be true and every man a liar. We lie to ourselves all the time. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about today, is about what to do about it. Because right now, all of us, even me, even Pastor Jim, we all have a thing where we want to believe a lie. But that's why we have the Bible, so we can be transformed by it. It's the spirit of the law, though, it's not the letter. If you read it, if you read the Bible by the letter, then you will be religious. You will be under a yoke of bondage. If you read the Ten Commandments and you figured out you could keep them, which I did, I read them to Titus and Shannon the other day before school started. If you can keep the commandments, then you don't need Jesus. You can't. But he can do it in you. He did it for you first. He lived your life already. Your life has already been lived out. He did all the works from the foundation of the world. You've been created a new creation, a totally new creation, not Jew, not Gentile, not female, not male, not anything. A new creation. So you're a new creation, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So all your good works, Jesus already did them. Whew, that's awesome. Now you can relax. You can be at peace. You can be content. Let him do everything. Does that mean you can just sit around and do nothing? No, it just means you're going to do awesome things for God, because he's going to do them. He's going to fight your battles. He's going to give you renew your mind. Jesus does everything. And so you can rest. You can enter into the Sabbath rest. Even when you're studying your Bible and praying and doing all those things that we all do as Christians, that's all Jesus' work. I love to pray. I love to read my Bible. I wish I didn't even have a job so I could, like Pastor, I wish I could be just like Pastor Jim. I could be at home all day and read my Bible, come to the church, use the library. I would love to do that. But alas, alas, I got to work. But even when I'm working, I'm still happy. I'm still peaceful. I'm content. I'm content the way things are. I'm content with Anna. I'm content with David and his family. I'm content with Susie. I'm content with Norman. I'm content with all things. I'm content with my wife. I love my wife for no reason. Not because she's nice or she's pretty or she's anything. I just love her. And I'm content. I've always been content. And the Bible wants you to be content. I'm content just knowing Jesus. I don't care about any of my gifts. I don't care about anything else. I'm just content knowing him. Anything else that Jesus wants to add to it, that's awesome. If the Father has given you Jesus Christ, he's freely given you all things. So you have no sweat, no problems. I'm content with my children. I'm content with the way the world is, good or bad. I'm content with my family, my brothers and sisters, my mom and dad. I'm content in all things. It doesn't mean I don't want things, you know, I don't want change or I don't want Jesus to do something, but I can't help him out. So I'm just going to be content, at peace, at rest, and let him do all the work. And he'll do it because he promised. Like Susie said, you know, he began a good work in you and he will do it till the day of Jesus Christ. Now here's the scripture. Psalms 139. I want to teach you today how to relate to God, or how to relate to the Bible, or how to relate to how you do things. In the Bible, Jesus first and foremost saves us, right? You become born again. It takes like a second. I remember when I got saved, I told you guys all the story about I was at the Bass's, Robert Bass's house, and I was in the front there, and my life totally changed instantly. I mean, instantly. I had one of those really crazy life-changing experiences right there in 1 second. 1 second I was this way, and the next second I was a totally new creature. And I knew it. I mean, for lack of a better term, I felt it. I knew it. I knew I would never be the same. I knew I'd never live my old life. I knew I was dead. I don't know how I knew that. And I knew the Bible was true. I knew everything in it was true. But a second before, I didn't even know that. I mean, I'm talking literally seconds before that, I didn't even think that. But then once I got born again, the guy prayed with me and led me to the Lord, then I'm changed. I'm a new creature. And just like you, I'm sure everybody has a testimony about that. And so then I had to, but then I was just a baby Christian. Even though I was already everything that Jesus wanted me to be, I still was just a baby Christian. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about the Bible. Didn't know anything about anything. I just knew Jesus was awesome. How could he forgive me? I just couldn't, you know, being a Catholic, Norman, you just can't think of that, being forgiven of your sin. You think you got to pay for it or, you know, give some money or do something, you know, to eradicate your sin. But he just did it for nothing. I couldn't believe it. And that would fit me perfect because I was a nothing kind of guy. I could do nothing. So it fits everybody, right? Jesus fits everybody. He loves, 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 loves sinners. He loves sinners. He only came for the sinners. If you're righteous, then you don't need Jesus. Then go your own way. Figure it out. Do the best you can. Then you go to hell. That's not good. That's not a good way to go. It's better to just to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. I'm going to read verse 23 and 24, and then I'm going to read Psalm 62. It says, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, as a Christian, you can do that. Because the Bible says, come boldly, boldly, boldly to the throne of grace. Every day, almost without exception, that's the way I come to God. Exactly to where I am. Even if I am in the middle of a sin, I don't care. It says it in the Word, I'm going to do it. Because I need His help. So I'm going to pour my heart. And people don't do this because they're afraid to admit that they're wicked, that they're sinful, that they have not done what the Bible says to do. But I'm not. I am wicked to the hilt, apart from Jesus. So that's the way I come to God. God, and I never whitewash it either. I talk just like the Bible talks. God, I hated that person because they didn't do it, whatever the thing was. I hate them. I don't say, well, I disliked them or I kind of didn't like them. Or I hated them because they did this or did that. Or I hated myself because I hate you, God, because you didn't do what I say. Or whatever the thing is, you just come to God just like that, raw, naked, bare. Pour out your, I'm going to read another scripture that talks about pouring your heart out to God. It's like pouring in the Hebrew it means it's like pouring out metal. Like, you know, you ever seen melted, like lava or silver or gold or any kind of metal you can melt. I guess you can melt all of them, I guess. And that's what it's like. It's like you're just kind of pouring, you're just going everywhere, you're just kind of pouring out your, you kind of got a table there. Just imagine when you come to Jesus, there's a table there. And Jesus is loving you. The reason why you can do this is because Jesus loves you. You can do it. I tell you, it is the neatest thing. Because then you love. If you've forgiven much, you love much. You're forgiven little, you love little. I'm telling you, that's just the way it is. Jesus said that. That's the way it is. If you think, here's how most Christians think. Well, I was saved. So I'm telling you, this is how you do everything. Miracles, signs and wonders, everything. Even though we don't look at those things, we keep our eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. But if you pour out your heart to God, and and because you know He loves you unconditionally, and He knows your thoughts anyway, He knows all your sin, He knows how many hairs are on your head. Which David doesn't have much, but he has a few. So he doesn't have to spend much time with God because he didn't count. I'm just kidding, David. That's not true. One, two, three. Okay, David, next. Now, Brian, on the other hand, oh my gosh, take God a couple of days to count his hairs. Just kidding. But anyway, God knows everything anyway. It's for you. It's not for him. God's already perfect. He's already okay. God's okay. God's not upset or out of control or mad or angry or bitter or anything that you are. He's the opposite. So you can come to Him just as you are. God, and I do all the time. Like, God, man, I just, I just pour it out every day. But I do it every day because it's good for your soul. Then you know God is so merciful. His mercies are new every morning. Then he pours out his mercy, and then he pours out his power. And I tell you, it's awesome. Then you don't sin, not because you are under a law, but because you're under grace. Because he empowers you. Why would I want to sin? I do sin all the time. But why would I want to live in sin when I have Jesus? Why would I want to live in the flesh when I can live in the Spirit? But that's how you live in the Spirit. You got to first honest yourself, or whatever you want to call it. You got to be honest with God. But that doesn't end there. If you're just honest with God, that's not going to help at all. You're honest with him. Tell God, pour out your heart before him. He forgives you all your sins. All. It's one of the benefits of being a Christian. Did you know that? It says it in Psalms 103. He forgives all your iniquities. Cleanses you. Then he heals all your diseases. It's promised. It's one of the benefits of being a Christian. It's kind of like, you know, when you get a job and you get insurance and they list all the benefits you got, and but these are the better benefits. But Jesus has benefits too. It's a benefit to being a Christian. You get everything, you can get everything in this world that Jesus promised, and then eternal life. That's a good deal. It's a very good deal. That's the only deal I want to take. That's a good sell. So that'll sell. But amazingly, it doesn't. But to me, it was good news. I was like, man, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. And I knew it. I knew. Even though I wasn't a Christian, I didn't know anything about the Bible, very little about Jesus. I knew he died. I knew about Mary, of course, because being a Catholic. But to me, it was good news. And a lot of people, it is. If you talk to people about the Lord, some people, you're a sweet-smelling savor to everybody, actually. But to some, it's death unto death, and some, it's life unto life. So that's just the way it is. You got to be content and just keep on going, because God will never leave you or forsake you. He began a good work in you. He will finish it. Amen. You know what the end of your faith is? The end of it. The very end of your faith is salvation of your soul. And that's what God's doing. He's saving your soul. Spirit, you're okay. I mean, I have a new heart. Man, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new again. I'm created in Christ Jesus and all that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the gospel. I have all that. Yet, I'm still being saved. I'm saved, I'm being saved, and I will yet be saved. It's a process. It's a one-time thing, of course, but it's also a process. You get baptized in the Holy Spirit so you can do everything that God's told you to do. You can lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. You can cast out demons. You can do all those things. And that's promise. But it's all by promise. In my righteousness, promise. That way I can't boast. If I'm a righteous man, which I am, because of Jesus, not because of me, I'm not righteous in myself. I'm only righteous because Jesus gave it to me as a gift. That's a free gift. If somebody gives you something, you didn't earn it. God never pays a wage. If you had to earn anything from God, then he would be a liar. Says that in the Bible. But you can't. You don't owe God anything. He does not owe you anything. He just gives it to you for free. God, it makes me want to worship him. Makes me want to love him. Makes me want to pray. Makes me want to spend time with him. Because that's my only hope. I have no other hope in this world. I'm telling you. If you knew my life, you would think, oh my gosh, the only hope that guy has is Jesus. And that would be true. Right? But it's true for you too. I mean, that's exactly true. Okay, so Psalm 62. I promised Leah, my wife, that I would use Scripture. Because if I don't do it, she gets mad. And then I'll have hell to pay when I get home. So I'm going to read the Scriptures. No, I want to anyway. I'm just kidding. Okay, now this is awesome. Let's start in verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. Everybody, the wicked, they want to cast God down and make him human, as if God's a human. The Romans did it. The Greeks did it. Everybody does it. They want God to be human. They want God to be mad and angry and bitter and jealous and all that. Like we are, but he's not like us. Let God be true and every man a liar. So God wants us to be like him. That's why we look at Jesus, the author and the finisher. You're always beholding him because he's perfect. He's perfect. He's perfect. And you're not. You're not God. You'll never be God. Even when you go to heaven, you'll just be like God. Is there a problem? Is there a little boy coming in? Hey, buddy. Hey. He just wants to hear something. He must have escaped somehow. Yeah, I don't know if that's not my grandson, but I'll take him. Okay. They just delight in lies. They delight in lies. How many of you know, you've watched the news. I think that Supreme Court guy, I think his name is Rutabal, isn't it?
Kavanaugh.
What?
Kavanaugh.
I knew it was something like that. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Rutabal. I don't know why I thought of that. Is that bad? I don't even know what that means. So everybody, even us, we delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Let's just repeat it. If the Bible repeats something, especially in the same chapter, it's pretty important. Whenever the Bible says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, or you know, whatever it says a couple times, and you probably should pay attention to it. Because it's important. So God only, and the Psalms does that a lot. It repeats the same thing over and over and over again, which is awesome because obviously we need it because we're not that smart. And God, my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Now this is the word I was telling you about in the Hebrew. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. In your walk with the Lord, you have to do this. Because Paul said in Corinthians that we cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge in the name of Jesus Christ. The problem is we don't think right because we don't think like God thinks. The Bible says, think on these things. This is what I want you to think about. I want you, how do I want to be emotionally? Rejoice in the Lord always. I always want to be happy. All the time. By faith. I just do it by faith. I don't feel it all the time. The problem with our church, the church in the world is everybody wants to go by feelings. Well, I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like 1 + 1 = 2. I don't feel like, you know, whatever people don't feel like. That's stupid. In the old days, nobody lived. When I was little, we didn't live like that. You did what you were told, or you got a spanking. That was it. Yeah. And it built character, and then you figured out, hey, I don't think right, or I'm not doing right. Something's wrong. But I never thought something was wrong with my neighbors. My neighbors, I was so bad, my neighbors used to spank me. I'm serious. Mrs. Benjamin, I'd go steal her tomatoes, and she would grab a hold of me and she'd spank me. Or she'd call my mom and say, hey, Danny's in my tomatoes again or something. Because that's just the way it was back then. Nobody, and my mom and dad didn't care. I didn't care who spanked me. I got spanked at school. I never told my mom and dad when I got spanked at school. Because they didn't send letters home or anything like that. They just spanked you on the spot and then that was it. Then you were, anyway, God is good. Yeah, that's a side note. But anyway, things just, so your thinking has to be different than the world thinks. Totally different. If you watch the news, you listen to a preacher, whatever you do, whatever's on TV or whatever people think of, that's all, it's a bunch of garbage. If it doesn't agree with the Bible, then I don't even think about it. I think on these things. Your conversation is in heaven. That means, David, your life is already in heaven. It's already there. That's the way you think. The world has nothing to offer. Nothing. Just bondage. Laws. The Bible calls it the rudiments of this world. It's just law. The world is totally under legalism, under the law. The church, basically, is the same way because it's just like the world. We got the same sins. It's the same everything. Same divorce rate, probably more, I don't know. But we got the same, probably abortions, all that stuff that goes on in the world. I mean, I don't know how, you know, it's just crazy the way people think. We think all wrong, and they're toxic, and it causes us to be, it stresses us out. Right, Anna? You get stressed out, and then you get sick. Anna works at a wellness center. That was her degree in college, but she works at a wellness center. But when they deal with people's health, they have to deal with that first thing they deal with, because that's what causes all the problems. People are stressed, and it affects your way you think. It messes up all your neurons and your proteins that are in your brain. It just messes it all up, and your thought life is a mess. Then you're stressed out, and then you're sick because of that. So if you can just get your thought life right, which is in the Bible, just be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renew your mind. Your mind is the problem. You're thinking wrong. That's part of your soul, by the way. Your mind, your will, your emotions. Those things are being killed off. As a matter of fact, like your emotions, sad, happy, depressed, whatever. Those things have to be changed by the renewing of your mind so that you're happy all the time. If I'm thinking about Jesus, I cannot help but be happy. Amen. Like I told you, if I poured out my heart before the Lord and I knew exactly how forgiven I am, I'm talking about every day, not just when I got saved. I'm talking about today, this morning, when I prayed. I was amazed. I'm amazed every day by the gospel. I'm amazed that God forgave me again, and He loves me, and He's merciful. And so it's easy to love people because you're forgiven much, 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 much more than you think. You think God just kind of fixed you up a little bit, like He bought you used, like a used car, and He just put new tires on you and, you know, and maybe got some body work done or whatever people do to used cars. But He didn't do that. That's not even close to what, that's what the world does. That's what psychology is, all witchcraft and evil. All that stuff is evil. Everything people do in this world is evil. It's just evil. You got to think about how God does things. You have to ask Jesus everything. Jesus, is this right? And you got to make Him answer you, too. You can't just say, well, is this right or wrong? And people get fearful and worried about what to do about things. Don't do that. Just keep asking. It's His responsibility. It's His job to lead you and guide you, to be your defense, to be your rock, to be your strong tower, a refuge you can run to in times of trouble, when you're in trouble all the time. If you have a medical problem, you go to Jesus. Jesus, man, this is what they want me to do. This is what the doctor wants me to do. I'm asking you, what do you want? And you can do that. It's not beyond reasoning. God speaks. My sheep know my voice. He speaks. He can show you everything. And it's so cool. I'm telling you, it's neat to be a Christian. You can go to God every day, pour out your heart before Him, pour out your heart before Him. Let him just show, just God, oh man, I'm blah, blah, blah. You know, you just kind of spill it all out. Then He forgives you everything, and then you're clean. And you don't walk around all day with that kind of that angst, that worry, that, you ever do that? Something's bothering you. You just don't even know what it is. You just kind of, you're short with everybody. You're mad. You yell at your kids. You're totally unreasonable. I was going to say something, but I don't want to say that. I might get in a lot of trouble. But, you know, all that stuff. I'm just telling you this is a real thing. And then you're all anxious and you're stressed out and you start getting sick. And it's not worth it. Just go to Jesus every day. Don't be afraid. See, people are afraid to do this because they think, and it's not before men. You don't have to worry about doing it before men. I've done it before men before, and I got crucified. You know, it was bad. It was really bad. But it was good. I learned a lesson. But you just go to God and do this. God, because He is going to be merciful and kind. You declare His loving kindness in the morning, the Bible says, and His faithfulness every night. So in the morning, I'm always, always going for His loving kindness. I don't care, because He promised. I want His mercy. I want His loving kindness. I want His grace. I want all that. I don't care about the other stuff. I even tell Him, God, I'm not going to keep Your law today. I don't even give a flip about Your law. I just want to know, are You going to be merciful to me? I do care about His law. You know what I mean. I'm not going for the law. If I went for, I better be good today, then I'm going to be stressed out all day and anxious. You know, I was supposed not to eat ice cream today, but I did, you know. And, you know, all the things that we do that we think are evil. But you're not ever going to win that battle. Ever. Never. Let Jesus take care of that. I always say, Jesus, when I get done praying with God, because I want to commit myself to the Lord when I'm done praying. You know, use me, God. I go, but I'm not under any law. So You better lead me by the Spirit. Those that are led by the Spirit, those are the sons of God. I want to be led by the Spirit today. I don't want to be under any law. If I'm under law, then I'm under pressure. Then I have a burden on me. Then I'm going to fail. I mean, you're going to fail automatically. Everybody that's under law sins. Unbelievable. And if you're a religious person, you murder all the time because you kill everybody that's not like you. It's that way. It was like that in the Crusades. The Muslims do it. All of them. Everybody does it because they're right and everybody else is wrong, so they have to die. So there's murder. That's why they killed Jesus. He wasn't part of the program. He was like the opposite. He wanted people to be free. Oh my gosh, people to be free. That would be ridiculous. And that's what we want, right? As Christians, we want to be free. We want liberty. You have to have liberty. If you don't have liberty, then you cannot serve God. You might serve His law, but God's not tied to His law. It's just His word. It's His promise. He gave it to Abraham. Had nothing to boast in, the Bible says. If he boasted, if he did something good, a good work, Abraham, I'm talking about Abraham, then he has something to boast in, but not before God. Because law made nothing perfect. It never will, never has. If there was a law given that could have given life, then righteousness would have been by the law. If Jeff could have kept one law, one, just one, not the whole thing, but just one, perfectly, from the heart, then righteousness would have been by the law. Because then it could be done. But it couldn't. Only Jesus could do it. Jesus lived that for you. He died on the cross for your sins. He rose from the dead. And He ever lives to make intercession for you. God, you got Jesus praying for you. That's awesome. That's amazing. But I'm telling you how to have a relationship with God. You come to God just as you are. Even if you just got done doing the most heinous sin or having the most heinous thought. As a matter of fact, I'm talking to Jesus sometimes when I'm having a heinous thought. Evil thought. Yeah. I'm like, Jesus, you got it. That's evil. I cast that thought down in the name of Jesus. And forgive me. Amen. Forgive me for that, Lord. Forgive me. God's not concerned about your outward sins. You get your inward sins taken care of, outward will take care of itself. Those are the sins that are evil because people think evil thoughts. I know y'all do because I do. And you have to just bring them to Jesus. You know, that's why I always tell the audience, I like movies where, let's watch a movie where somebody got wronged and then the guy got vengeance and just killed everybody. That's the way I am. I just can't wait till I can kill everybody that doesn't love Jesus. No, just kidding. But you know what I mean. I like that. I like vengeance. I like that. But that vengeance is the Lord's. So I can't do it. You know, I'm like, oh, God, I'm sorry. That person did wrong to this person. I want to kill that person and help this guy out because he got wronged. That's injustice. That guy needs to be killed or something. Or put in jail or, you know, something. Have you ever thought that? I have. thought, maybe this guy needs to die. But that's not Jesus. God is merciful and kind, slow to anger. You wonder why your life is taking so long?
Because
Jesus is patient with you. He's not willing that any man perish, but all come to repentance. Your life, your discipleship life, not your Christian life. Christian, that's nothing. That's just being born again. You're just in the boat. You're just getting in. But your life, the process of your salvation is lifelong until Jesus comes back. Paul even said it. He said, I'm forgetting all those things which are behind, and I'm looking to the prize, which is in Christ Jesus. So I want to know him, the power of his resurrection, be conformable to his death, and all that. So that's all that's happening in your life. So your discipleship, your growth, is lifelong. From the time you're born again till you die and go to heaven, you're being discipled, whether you know it or not, either good or bad. You're being discipled. But I want to be discipled by Jesus. He began a good work in me. He's going to finish it. He promised. Amen. He's the author, the beginner. When I got saved back in 1983, something like that, that was just the beginning. I didn't know it at the time. I thought it was the end. I did. I thought, man, I'm a Christian now. I'm awesome. But little did I know that as to this day, I'm like, oh, man, I barely even grew an inch, man. I got a long way to go. That's the same with your life. You have to keep growing and growing and growing the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He began a good work, and when you're done, your faith is done, you'll be just like Jesus. You won't be Jesus, but you'll be like him, because you'll see him as he is. As soon as he comes back, you'll see him, and then you'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye. And you'll be just like them. And then you won't need faith anymore. You won't need hope. All the things that we cling to now, because I have to have hope every day. But that's my hope, is that Jesus is coming back and that I'll receive my inheritance. And you'll get yours too. And you will, actually your inheritance will be Jesus himself. Abraham, I am your exceedingly great reward. You know, people want a mansion and gold on the streets and all that, and a pretty horse or something, whatever they want in heaven. But that's not heaven. Heaven is the presence of the Lord continually all the time. As a matter of fact, there won't even be a sun or a moon or anything to lighten it, because Jesus, God himself, will lighten everything. And you're actually part of the house, the building that he's building. What that, I don't even know what that looks like. It's spiritual, but there's a new Jerusalem and all that stuff. And when you're built, and Jesus Christ himself is the cornerstone. It's already started. Jesus is the cornerstone. You got the apostles, you know, Peter and Paul, and you got Matthew and James and John, Bartholomew, and you got all the disciples there, probably Luke, and all these guys are in there. And probably Martin Luther's in there now. And pretty soon the house will be built, and you guys will finish it. We will finish the house. It'd be awesome. It'd be made of Jew and Gentile. It's only two people that I know that's in the earth, is Jew and Gentile. That's what we got. So that's what it's going to be made out of. And we'll be in heaven together forever and ever and ever. Eternal life. But in this world now, you can live godly in this world. You can have heaven on earth. Problem is, we believe lies. And we're not happy because things aren't going the way we want them to go. Well, so-and-so didn't win the election. Or, man, those Muslims are mean. Or whatever the thing is we're mad about or upset about. You have to look at those things realistically, the way they are, and still be content, still be happy, still be at rest. Because that's why the Bible says to pray. That's the weapon of your warfare. Everything. The Bible says pray for all men. All. That means all men. It actually means that in the Greek. It means all men. Pray for all men. Pray for those who are in ruler over, or who rule over you. Pray for Pastor Jim, for me, for David, for Jeff. Pray for all of us. Pray for Trump. Pray for the Clintons. Pray for Obama. Pray for whoever's in charge of this world, which, you know, people have different, theologies on all that and everything. But still, we have to pray for everybody. And then pray for everything. If you pray for everything, about everything, then you're not worried. You're not fearful. You're not stressed out. Cast all your cares on the Lord. All. All means all. All does not mean some of them except for that one thing I need to worry about because it's important. No, you cast all your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. All right? So you're at rest. Study, study, study to be at rest. Okay, I'm going to read a few things to you that I wrote down because I think it's really neat how God wants us to live and how we do live. All of you have experienced this and know this. But I just want to remind you to exhort you to be pitiful. It just means to be tenderhearted. I like that. I like the way the Bible talks. It talks about the dumbass and the pitiful and fools and all. It talks about all kinds of stuff. That's kind of interesting. But, you know, King James, they don't care about stuff like that. But okay, I told you enough about being content. That just means to have enough. Enough is enough. I mean, how much stuff can you have? Oh, my gosh. I need to pray for that boy. I'm just teasing. Okay, so be content. Everybody here, just say, I'm content. I don't need anything. I don't want anything. I have Jesus. That's your contentment. I don't have to have money. Even if I lack, I'm still content. Because Paul said, I learned how to be abound, I learned how to be abased. Even if you lack something, you think you lack something, God will take care of it. Well, I don't have this, or I don't have that, or I don't feel God, or I don't whatever. Don't worry about all that. Just be content. Be content with your wife. Be content with your husband. Be content with your kids. Be content the way things are. Even if they're not Christians, so they're not doing right. Just be content. And God will never leave you, never leave you, never or forsake you. Never leave you or forsake you. Be sober-minded. That just means, being sober-minded is just being right-minded. It's like I talked about before. Just be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be sober-minded. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with. It also means that, too. Don't be drunk. So if you're getting drunk, don't be drunk. Don't do drugs. Be right-minded. It's just be sober. Be sober-minded. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't be silly all the time and stupid. Just be sober-minded. Doesn't mean be sad or depressed. That's not what it means. It means you're happy all the time. You're thinking right thoughts. Be reasonable. This just means be moderate. Don't overdo things. Women, don't overdo your hair and your clothes and all that kind of stuff or try to be seen or get a million tattoos or something so everybody will look at you and go, wow, you're awesome. Just be who you are. Just be at peace. Just be reasonable. That's all it means. Be right-minded. So you have to think like God thinks. Okay. So be moderate. Be peaceful. God wants you to be peaceful. He has given you the peace of God that passes all understanding. So you never have to be striving or anxious about anything. Don't be anxious. Study to be, I already told you what quiet means. Study to be quiet means to rest. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that labor to enter into his rest. The word labor means to use speed. Get there as quick as you can. It doesn't mean strive to get in there. It just means get in there as quick as you can. Learn to rest in the Lord. Don't be so stressed out about stuff. For instance, people worry a lot, and I don't, but I can see how they do. People worry a lot about their Christianity, their walk, how Gosh, I wonder why we don't have signs and wonders anymore. I wonder why we don't have this anymore. I wonder why this isn't happening or that's not happening. But you can't look at that. Those are just symptoms of your walk with the Lord. Fruit, love, joy, peace, meekness, goodness, times. If you focus on that, those things, then you'll lose Jesus. Because you can't rape them or use them for just what you want or what you think Jesus ought to do or something like that. You just keep your eyes on Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus, everything else will fall in place. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, everything will be added. All that will be added, but you won't care about it. You won't be so addicted to it, or you won't keep your eyes on it. It won't become idolatrous to you, which it did in the past. I know it did. But you just look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Keep your eyes on Him. Beholding Him, I'm changed from glory to glory to glory to glory. When I look at Jesus, everything's okay. I don't know. It's kind of like a little kid when they look to their mom. Look at him. He's all content. And he was screaming. And I don't know what he was doing back there. But he's got his mom now. He's all peaceful. See, that's how we are with Jesus. Man, if I get to Jesus just as quick as I can when I wake up, I'm at peace. I mean, I'm telling you. This life I'm talking about works. You could be peace. All these things that it says in the Bible about your mind, about the way your attitude, your emotions, all that is wrapped up in Jesus. But I'm not looking to have that, all that stuff. I'm just keeping my eyes on Jesus. I found out about all this stuff just totally by sheer accident. Well, of course, I've been going to church here for years and years and years, so I learned a lot. But I found out about it. But you have to be a doer of the word. You got to do it every day, every day. Every day you got to go over the gospel. Jesus is my example, which kills me because He's perfect. I used to do that when I was younger Christian. I used to go, sure, Jesus, You're perfect. You know, I just get all upset because I couldn't do something or the Bible said, but Jesus can do it because He's all perfect. That sounds bad, doesn't it? Yeah, it is true. And then Jesus, our example, then He forgives us. He died on the cross. Took away all of our sins, all. Forgave us all of our sins, all of our, even our secret sins, which we don't even want to talk about, which we don't even know. You know that? You don't even know all your sins. They're bad. You're bad. Okay. So anyway, Jesus took care of all that. And then your sins are all forgiven. But then this is what kills me, even though He knows that, even though I just poured out my heart to Him, and all my garbage is right there on the table for Him to clean up, He empowers me. I just can't believe it. He fills me with the Holy Spirit. He enables me to do whatever I need to do in this world. To love my wife. To love my children. To love Norman. Which is very hard. No, I'm just kidding. You know, just to love people in general. To love everybody. He empowers me to do that. And I know it's Him. Because I'm not naturally that way. I'm German. Germans do not naturally love people. I mean, look at our past. It's pretty bad. Germans are not very loving and kind. Well, I think Luther was pretty cool, but anyway. It's just Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He's going to do it. So whatever you have going on today, just pray about everything. I mean everything. I pray about driving. I pray about, you know, what I'm going to have for breakfast. I pray about everything. Because you're always talking to Jesus. You can talk, you know, you can talk to Jesus all day. And it puts you in your right mind. Because then you know, man, like I love what what Jeff shared about God fights all your battles. Man, that's a good thing. Right, Jeff? Because if He didn't, you would be in trouble. You'd be dead. He fights all your battles. He takes care of you. How many times do you guys know that, you know, when you... The Bible says that angels are round about you all the time. It says in Hebrews, God's given all those ministering spirits to you. You don't even know what angels have done for you that God sent to help you fix your tire or whatever. You don't even know. And angels just look like regular people, so you don't even know. And they saved your life, or they did something, and you don't even know. You don't even know. So God takes care of everything. You have nothing, or even if you died, it's okay. The sting of death is what?
Nothing.
Sin. The sting of death is sin. The only thing that gives death any strength or any sting to it is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. So I guess my message today would be, come out from underneath the law, come under grace, and you'll be fine. You'll make it. You think you won't, though, because as a Catholic, growing up a Catholic, I'm just saying, Norman, you did, I know, an oboe, you're under a law, a yoke of bondage. You have to be good. You have to go to communion. You have to go to confession. You have to pay this amount of money. You got to light a candle. You got to pray for so-and-so out of purgatory. There's a lot of work involved. Even though it's not that hard to do, it's still a work. So you're anxious about it. You're guilty. You're always guilty. Now, I'm never guilty because of Jesus. That's why I can come boldly to the throne of grace. That's why you can come boldly to the throne of grace, because you're not guilty. Just go. He promised. He said you could. He said it right there in Hebrews. I think it's Hebrews chapter 4, right? Come boldly to the throne of grace. You may see mercy. Mercy. God takes pleasure in those that hope in His law. No, in His mercy. If you hope in God's mercy, then you have, God's pleased with that. He loves it that you have faith in Him, that you are pleased. He's pleased with that. He's not pleased that you keep His law. That is a joke. You cannot keep His law, ever. Never, ever, 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 ever. Not even for eternity. Only Jesus can do that. Only God is good. Only God is good. Some people are irked about that. They hate that fact. Because I want to be good. I want to have some kind of righteousness of my own, but you're not. Only God is good. That sets me free. Because now I'm not under any pressure to be. How can I be good if I'm not good? How can I act good if I'm not good? Now, I want my kids that good, or they're going to get whooping, but they're under the law still. The younger ones are. Look, Anna's not. Because she's not even in our household anymore. She's part of another household. That's her husband's problem. I'm just kidding, man. Anna was never a problem, ever. But you know what I mean. So, but don't live under law, under yoke of bondage. Because what's going to easily beset you is your sin and the weight. The weight of sin is going to easily beset you. It's easy. I tell you, it is. It's so easy to fall into sin, you can't even help it. Except you have Jesus. That's why every day I go to Jesus. If I haven't done it, I thought about it. So you're not going to win that battle except through Jesus. And when you go to Jesus, He'll take care of it for you. He'll give you the forgiveness you need, and then He'll give you the power. Grace has mercy. Remember, grace has mercy, 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 mercy. It also has power to do what God wants you to do. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm actually doing that. But it's still difficult. You got to get rid of the sin that so easily besets you. And it does. Sin is just crouching there right at the door waiting. I mean, when you get up in the morning, it's right there by your bed. It's just, you know, or knocking on the door or something. Hey, you want to sin a little bit, or have a little bit of depression, or you want to feel sorry for yourself, or whatever it is that you're into. It's right there. But it's easy to defeat. It's easy. It's easy for Jesus. I'm just saying it's easy for Jesus. And the devil, people worry about that all the time. The devil's easy to get rid of. Resist the devil. He has to flee. Yeah. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. That's it. It's not scary or anything like that. Just that's how you do it. It's real easy. And then the rest is you. The problem's not the devil. The problem's you. You're the problem. But then you're not. After you're the problem, then you're not the problem. After you're the sinner, then you're the saint. It's you're just a walking contradiction. But you will figure that out, and you will fall in love with Jesus because he is so merciful, kind. He's lowly of heart, and he will do everything for you, and you can enter into his quietness, his peace, his joy. So stop striving. Stop trying to be good. Stop trying to be something you're not. Just let Jesus do it. And if you do it by faith. Yeah. Like, I love a certain person that I hardly can't stand to be around. It's none of you, so don't worry about it. Somebody you don't even know. But no, it's not you. But I had to just always take that to Jesus. I go, Jesus, man, I hate that person. I hate the way they talk. I hate the way they dress. I just hate them, pure and simple. I don't dislike them. There's no word for dislike in the Bible, or that word's not even in there. So anyway, but I learned to love them, and it was a miracle because I had to pray. I had to go every day to Jesus and say, Jesus, this is not right. If I can't love that person, I can't love myself. I can't love my wife. I can't even love you because I hate that person. So I had to figure all that out. And it worked out because God, Jesus, because I had to keep repenting until I had the power. I'm not going to give up either. You can't give up. You just got to come every day. Every day you come boldly to the throne of grace and pour out your heart before him like it says in Psalms. But don't give up. Don't grow weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not. And it kills your flesh because your flesh does not want to like certain people. Because they're not likable, just like you. So you have to keep going, and don't give up. Don't grow weary. When the Bible says don't grow weary in well doing, it means don't grow weary in doing the things first. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your heart, and all your strength. Then you can love your neighbor as yourself. So do those things first. Don't worry about all the ministry you have. And you do have gifts. Everybody here has a ministry, has gifts that God's given you to use. But don't worry about them. That's his business. That's none of your business. That's God's business. You just seek first the kingdom of God, and he'll give all that to you for free. Right? For free. And you won't even know you're doing it. Remember the Jesus, I'll quit right now, but Jesus said to the sheep and the goats, he told them, he said, well, you didn't visit me in prison. You didn't do this. And he goes, well, when did we not do that? He said, you didn't do it to the least of these. And then to the other ones, he said first, actually, he said to the sheep, he said, enter into joy of your master because you did those things. They go, well, we don't remember doing that. And you won't remember. When you get to heaven, you'll be shocked how many good works you have. I'm telling you, you will. Even if you have one or two, at least some of you will have something. But you'll have good works when you get to heaven because it's a promise. It's nothing you did or didn't do. It was a promise. You're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So I never, ever think about my good works or not think about them. I don't think about them ever, really, because I'm not worried about it. Why would I think about my good works when I can think about Jesus? If I got my eyes on Jesus, I don't have time to take my eyes off him and look at my good fruit or whatever. But I do have good fruit, and I do have good works because of a promise, not because of a law. And you do too. Everyone here will have good works. And Jesus will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. And then you'll be married to Jesus forever and ever. And it'll be awesome. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that everyone here has done good works because you promised, Father. You promised, Jesus. You promised, you promised, you promised. And we love you so much because you have forgiven us tons, a lot. You've forgiven us everything. Even though we hated you, we despised you, we rebelled. We did everything we could to make it in this world on our own. We never made it. But Jesus, you rescued us. You translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of your dear Son. Just as a gift. Man, we didn't even know about it. We didn't even understand it. But we believed it. It was a miracle. We believed it, and we still believe. We believe that you began that work in us, and you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And when we see him, what a joyous time that'll be. We'll see him and we'll be just like him. All of our fears, all of our tears, all of everything that we have done in this world that was evil and wicked would just burn away. And only that which is pure and holy and true and right will be left. And we thank you for that, Father, and we look forward to that day. But do it now. We want a head start program. We want to go ahead and start now every day, getting rid of our sin, getting rid of all of our anxiety, sin, fear, all those things that easily beset us. We want to get rid of it, Lord, so that we can serve you with a clear heart, clear conscience, so that we can just be happy all the time. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry I went too long. If anybody needs prayer or anything, you can, after you do the offering, come up.